I had a, you know, I had a great mother. She taught at an elementary school and did that for years. And then when I came along and I got to schooling age, she left there and began teaching at home. So she taught me, she taught all my siblings. And so I'm incredibly grateful for that. She sacrificed a lot, both my parents did, to be able to do that for us. Make sure you reach out to your mom. Let her know you're thankful. Let her know that she's been a blessing to you. Thank her even for the sleepless night she had when she first had you as a baby. Sometimes we forget about
that.
That
was so easy.
Yeah.
It was easy peasy.
Yeah. And now we've got Dan's mom. Surprise. She's walking in the room and she's going to say otherwise.
She has a baseball bat in her hand. God is making up the difference for you, because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus.
It was that moment, I'll never forget it, that I realized, no, just because my parents go to church or whatever's going on, there has to be something that happens personally between me and Christ. Between me and Christ. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Life and Faith Podcast. We're so thankful that you're joining us here, especially for those of you that continually come back and listen to these. Today, I'd like to talk about really something that's relevant for the time of this release, and that is we're talking about mothers. Mother's Day is coming up, and believe it or not, because a lot of people say, well, the Bible has a lot to say about men, not a lot to say about women. Well, there is quite a lot, and there's even women involved in the genealogy of Christ. They're included in there because of their significant roles, the roles they played in faith. So the Bible has a lot to say about that, but overall, just being able to share about even present-day mothers. I know a lot of, not even necessarily my mom, but there's a lot of mothers out there that are just prayer warriors that do a lot in prayer. I even know, I've talked about this before, I know widows. There's some widows I know that are huge fans of this podcast. And they've been some of the most encouraging people to me. But they're moms who, I would say their ministry is a ministry of encouragement, a ministry of prayer. And what an effective ministry. It may not be necessarily glorified in today's culture of like, accolades, things that people would typically chase after, but many times you don't even know the amount of work that's being done through your prayers that God is using your prayers for, and it's hard for us to even see the effects in our own lives, but especially when we are the ones praying for others, it's not readily visible of what God's doing, because sometimes there's intangible things going on. But the ministry of prayer is huge. Dan, have you benefited from this in your life at all, for people praying for you, or maybe specifically for moms or widows?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that the majority of the prayer warriors, if you will, that I've known have been women.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I don't tend to lean on too many women for support in that way. There are a few out there that I'll share with and things like that. But sure, as a rule, it's like usually my male friends that I will send prayer requests to, or the other elders at our church or whatever. I'll send stuff to them and be like, oh, this thing's happening, you know, be praying for that or whatever. But generally, yeah, I have known several women who were diehard prayer people that were really good. I don't know as far as what they've prayed for me. I'm not fully aware, but
yeah. Yeah. I'd like to even talk about, in my own life, my own mother, I know she prays she has prayed and she's still praying for me a lot, and I super appreciate that. My parents, because I've had people ask me this, they've said, well, how did you turn out this way? Like, what is it that your parents did? I said, it's not anything special necessarily. It's just that my parents made a huge priority in prayer. So it's God that's doing the work in my life and my sibling's life. If there's any good thing that you can recognize in our lives, it's ultimately God that's doing it, but he's using and responding to the prayers that my family made a priority from an early age. They both instilled in me the idea of praying for my spouse when I was just a little kid, very small, long before I ever even thought about, like, you know, moving out and all these things that adults would think about. They made that a priority. So not only did they make it a priority to encourage me to do that in my prayers, but I remember my mom and my dad both, they were praying. So they could say when we all got married that we've been praying for this spouse for years. So all those things, it's important. And, you know, sometimes people come to these holidays, whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day, and it can be a sore spot for them because sometimes they think, well, I didn't have a good relationship with my mother, or I never knew my mother, or, you know, I had an adoptive mother, or all those things. Fill in the blank. There's a lot of people who it can be difficult for, or they have an estranged relationship, or strained, I should say, and it can be difficult. But ultimately, understand that motherhood and those things is a gift from God. And ultimately, the good things that come from it are from God, and then the bad things are usually results of the flesh and the world and all those things. So looking at it from a right perspective, sometimes if maybe you don't have a good relationship with your mother, but God brings somebody else in your life that is like that. I was fortunate growing up that I had a great mother. She not only did all the typical mom things, she even, before I was born, I was the oldest of three. Before I was born, she taught at an elementary school and did that for years. And then when I came along and I got to schooling age, she left there and began teaching at home. So she taught me, she taught all my siblings. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. And she sacrificed a lot. Both of my parents did to be able to do that for us. You know, side note too, like she would probably want me to say this too, if she was here, she would say, just because I'm a teacher did not necessarily, that wasn't the qualification for me homeschooling, and anybody can homeschool. It was just, I probably had to do less prep work than other people, but it can absolutely be done if you're not a teacher. All that to say, I was blessed even growing up to have another person in my life that was like almost like a second mom to me. And that was my aunt. I've talked about her on the podcast before in a Christmas episode, or maybe it was a Thanksgiving episode where you were asking about.
Yeah, somewhere in that area.
She was sick, and it was actually unrelated to this, but about 10 or so years, maybe more like 15 years later after that, she ended up getting diagnosed with cancer. She came out of it, was doing better. I just happened to go down to Texas for a wedding and got to spend some time with her. Little did I know that in a month's time after I had sat with her at that place, the cancer would come back and more aggressive than ever, and she would pass away like less than a month from that time. So incredibly grateful for that. But it was one of the hardest deaths I had to go through because she was so influential in my life. She didn't get married till much later in life. So she just made it like she was going to be the ultimate aunt. And really, in ways, she really was. She came to any kind of performance we had. I had a baseball game and I had sports games frequently. She would come to as many of those as possible. Mm. And so she was always there. She would even go on family vacations with us. So we had so many great memories with her. She would babysit us when we were little. And even when we were too old to babysit, we would just say, hey, can I go and like spend the night at my aunt's house? And she would love that. She'd go out, she'd help us rent a movie. And then we'd watch a movie. She'd have all this stuff and make it great. So lots of fun memories. And I benefited from both of them. But
I have some really cool aunts as well. I love all my aunts. My dad's sister, she lives in, I think she's living in Arizona now. She was in South Dakota, but she comes to town and it's like not a moment has passed.
Yeah.
And then my mom's sister, helped me come to, was pivotal in me coming to know the Lord, and just a really sweet lady. And they live in Florida, and I don't get to see her much, but I think that some of the coolest people in the world are aunts, you know?
Yeah. 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 Just goes to show you, like, and another point I want to draw this to is in Timothy, we see example where Paul is speaking towards the faith of Timothy's mom and his grandmother. So aunts, you know, my aunt would go on later in life to be a mom, and she had a son who was unfortunately very young when she passed away. But, you know, the kindness and attentiveness that she showed in our lives when she was alive, I think it just bears even more on us as our family. Like, we want to reach out and be kind and be there for her son, because she was always there for us, right? So the motherhood that she had, even towards her own nieces and nephews, and it wasn't just our family either. You talk to any of my cousins all felt the same. It was very hard for all of us when she passed away. But it was such a, you know, she, and some of her faith really didn't launch out until towards the end of life. But praise God that, you know, it was there at the end of life. And she had such a great testimony in her funeral. Like, she knew it was coming. She knew it was coming fast. She got to prepare all of her funeral. And I couldn't have said this years ago in her life, but absolutely in that, she recognized, she didn't get bitter. She didn't say, "Why is this happening to me, God? Why do I have to leave my son?" I'm sure all these were feelings, right? But she didn't make the funeral one of sadness. It was one of joy and giving God the glory. Mm-hmm. That's really what I took away from her funeral. And so it was both, like, it was emotional, obviously, like, for anybody to lose a loved one, but just the fact that I saw that transformation in her life, because she wouldn't have been like that really years ago, but she came around and God just used all that and hopefully used it in somebody's life that attended that service. So when we think about how, even in the Bible, I mentioned just a minute ago, Paul communicated to Timothy about this in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, where he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So we don't know a lot about Timothy's dad. From what we can surmise, he was a Greek person. He probably didn't share the same faith. He married this Jewish woman, Eunice. But, you know, obviously we're not talking about dads here. Like, dads are important, don't get me wrong, but we're having special focus on moms. And a mom who prays and gives proper importance to God's word, the Holy Spirit, prayer, all these things can lead to generational faith. If you're trying to make it as a single mom out there, there is so much hope for you, because there's examples right here in Scripture of it happening. She wasn't a single mom, but she was at least the only one trying to push these values into her son. And, you know, Paul sought to invest a lot into Timothy. He essentially shored up where his dad was not there for him. But he was giving credit where credit was due. He said the faith and who knows, maybe he had a relationship with, you know, a friendship, so to speak, with the mom and the grandmother. He knew of them, maybe even through family or something like that. And that's how he came to know Timothy. And the entire church in Ephesus, which is where Timothy was leading as the pastor there eventually, they reaped the benefits of their godly influence. The godly influence that began with Lois, the grandmother, went to the next generation of Eunice, and then went finally to Timothy, and then just ripple effect into all of Ephesus. And really, that's where we get kind of the, you know, Paul's writing to Ephesus, and there's so many good things in Timothy. There's so many good things in Ephesians. The last episode we recorded, I know you referenced Ephesians a lot. All those things are a result of faithfulness that began in a mother, and then to her daughter, and then as she became a mother down to her son. So let us not take lightly the influence and the faith of a godly grandmother and mother. My grandmother if I could say that the top two hardest deaths I've experienced, it was my aunt, who was like a mother to me, and then my grandmother, who passed away when I was a teenager. And she lived right next door to me. So you want to think about it, like, I saw her every day, kind of like a mother. She's my grandmother. I had these motherly influences, like three of them, all in my life. And I know she was a praying woman. She prayed a lot. She enjoyed just me coming over to her house and singing hymns with her. And that's probably where I get a love for hymns even today. She had a tremendous influence on me. 1 Peter 3, I'm going to go into where it talks about wives, but understand the biblical model of motherhood means that you're a wife of somebody, right? So these kind of go hand in hand. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So, as an example for us, Peter's talking about the important role that a wife has. Yes, the husband is meant to be the leader of the home, to lead in things, but they're still fallen human beings, even as Christians. So, but this is even talking about an example of somebody who maybe isn't a believer yet. They can be won by the conversation of the wives, the spirit that the wives can bear before as a testimony to their husbands. But even if your husband is saved, maybe he's backslidden. I wouldn't necessarily categorize myself as a backslidden individual, so to speak, but do I have my backslidden days? Absolutely. And my wife, praise God, she has, in all the things that she's trying to do as a mother, she's a mother of five children, and she's actively trying to keep up with them, keep up with the house. She's actively trying to school three out of five of them right now. And there's days, I don't know how she does it. She probably, if she was sitting here, she's like, there's days I don't know how I do it. But, you know, just by prayer but really, moms, wives, those roles, they can be the glue that really does keep the family together. Because sometimes, a lot of times, they are so sensitive to problems that arise, they could even see and discern problems that are creeping up in your own family before you, the husband, have a chance to. So, why am I saying all this about my wife and the wives? Well, first of all, she is a mother. She's the mother of my children. But think about this from a general perspective. One of the greatest things that you as a mom can do for your children is to show love and, as the Bible commands, respect. In my Bible, it says reverence, but really we understand that term to mean, in today's terminology, it means respect. To show those things for your husband is one of the greatest ways you show your children love. The opposite is also true for men, that one of the greatest ways we show our children love is by loving their mother. Having a regular reminder, whether it's verbal or showing is huge. Actively showing love and care and concern for your spouse will provide the security that your home so desperately needs. Not only is it good for each other, you and your spouse, you're uplifting one another by acting in those manners that the Bible commands you to do, but you're also setting a good example for your children. You're helping them feel secure. You're providing the love that is so foundational and important for that home. We are most like Christ when we are serving in our biblical role that He has commanded us to serve in. You know, if you're married, you're commanded to serve as a wife. If He brings children into your life, you're commanded to serve as a mother. So as you're doing these things, we fulfill the love of Jesus when we show love to our children, love to our spouse, and even go beyond that. I know In Proverbs 31, it says that she not only collects enough food to feed her own home, but she collects enough to feed her maidens and all these things. The idea is she, out of love, with the love of Christ, she takes what she has, her resources, and collects it to be a blessing to not just her own family, but it goes, extends beyond the family, which is a beautiful ministry of hospitality that moms can have. I'll say this too. Allow me to brag a little bit on my wife here. My wife will tell you frequently, I don't have the gift of hospitality and I wish I did. Even though she says that a lot, she does such a good job at it. I've even recently seen that in recent events where we've taken on kind of a new chapter in life. And really what's so cool about that is, yes, she talks about how that's not in her naturally, but that's just, that gives so much glory to God, right? The fact that it's not in her naturally, but she is able to do it. And I see her doing it and I know it's something that she wants to work at. Later on in 1 Peter 3, the Bible goes on to say, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." All these things we're talking about that moms can do and should do for in their homes, with their family, and with others. One of her greatest ministries is in prayer to others. It's a ministry for all of us, but like we said, Dan and I have both probably benefited greatly, and maybe you, listener, you've benefited too from the prayers from somebody who's a mom, who's a praying mom, spends a lot of time in prayer. As we are doing these things God's way, Bible says his eyes are over us and his ears are open to our prayers. And really, what really puts a good capstone on all this is in Proverbs 31, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." So if you're listening, honey, you know, I was praising you earlier because you're doing a great job as a mom. And I try to tell you that often. And what's nice is even the children are helping me with that now. And if any of you are listening, whatever age you are, make sure you reach out to your mom. Let her know you're thankful. Let her know that she's been a blessing to you, and call it out. Make sure she's aware of that. Thank her for her prayers. Thank her even for the sleepless night she had when she first had you as a baby. Sometimes we forget about
that.
That
was so easy. Yeah. About that. That was easy peasy.
Yeah. And now we've got Dan's mom, surprise, she's walking in the room and she's going to say otherwise.
She has a baseball bat in her hand.
Yeah, just kidding. One of the last verses in Proverbs 31, it actually might be the last verse, I didn't put the reference on here, but it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." One of the greatest things is to have a mom in our lives that truly fears the Lord, that's praying for us. And you, the listener, you may say, "I'm not a mom." Maybe you might one day be one. And these are things to work towards even now before you become a mom. Make it a priority. You may say, "Well, I'm a man listening to this, and what's in it for me?" This is an example of the wife that you should be pursuing if you don't have a wife currently. If you do have one, you say, "Well, she doesn't really act like this." Okay, well, what can you do as a man to help her? What can you do to love her so that she can reciprocate? Because that's the way God's created them to do, is to reciprocate as we lead. So making sure that you're doing that part, or maybe you're not married yet, and these are things that you need to instill in yourself now so that you can find a woman that really that you're worth her time and all of her sacrifice that she'll undoubtedly have to make as a wife and as a mother. And you know, we've caught a lot of situations, but really there's something in this episode for everybody, even if you're not explicitly a mother. Even as a grandmother, you can still have a tremendous legacy you leave your family, and also still a tremendous influence, especially in prayer, toward your family. For all those moms listening out there, we hope that you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and may God bless. Thank you for listening to the Life and Faith Podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review on your favorite platform, and sharing it with friends and family. Your support helps us continue spreading the gospel of faith, hope, and love. Connect with us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others to stay updated on our latest episodes. See the link in the show notes for all our social media channels. And until next time, it is our hope you'll commit yourself to an even deeper life and faith.